Welcome to Digest This, the show that helps you revolutionize your digestive health. Here are your hosts, Dr. Liz Cruz and Tina Nunziato.
Hello, and welcome to Digest This. I'm Dr. Liz Cruz, and I've got Tina Nunziato sitting right here by my side. Thank you so much for joining us for another podcast. If you're a first-time listener, we're so happy that you have joined us, and we hope that you'll continue to catch us on these podcasts. We do these once a week, and if you're a regular listener, thank you for being there for us and taking the time to listen to these podcasts that we do every single week.
And hopefully you're learning something.
Yeah, hopefully. That would be great.
Yeah.
So I told Tina that I thought we should talk a little bit about childhood obesity, because I don't think we've talked about childhood obesity. No, I mean, we've just mentioned it on some
podcast. Went back and looked in our log, and we haven't had a specific show on it.
Okay.
So,
well, I think it's an important topic because it is such an epidemic.
Yeah.
In the United States, and it's sad. It really is heartbreaking to see so many children that are so overweight. Mm-hmm. And there's just so much potential. Potential is probably not the right word, but there's so much risk. Mm-hmm. For so many other diseases that are associated with the childhood obesity, that I just think it merits a little discussion, at least just for, 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So, we don't see children in our practice. Our youngest that we see in the practice is maybe 18 years old. I mean, we're an adult gastroenterology practice, but we, we get to see some young people, teenagers. Mm-hmm. And
And I do consults with kids.
You do consults,
yeah,
right?
Because
right.
The patients or family members of patients that are coming in, they are having issues with their kids. Their kids are having digestive issues, and so we'll do just a wellness consult with them. Most of the time, if the child is suffering, they've already been through a bunch of tests already through some other doctor or GI. And so they just need guidance with regard to food and water and things like that. So we've been able to consult with a lot of families, mm-hmm. Specifically of children that are struggling with childhood obesity.
And what have you found, like, in talking with these families when you have these consultations with the kids and the mm-hmm. family? Like, what do you see as being the issue? Like, maybe just mention one or two things that you see as being the issue. I know there's
so
a
many.
Lot, but what do you see as being, is there one common thing that you see over and over?
Yeah, there's a handful of common things. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a recipe, right? It's the recipe of disaster, okay? Which is poor diet, mm-hmm. right? I mean, most families today are eating for convenience, right? So that's the number one thing, right? Yeah. So we're eating a lot of fast food. I think the biggest thing, too, that I see with parents is they bend to the child, right? So from the time the child is a baby, they're giving the child what the child wants and what the child will eat. And, if you ask a child what the child wants, it's going to say mac and cheese mm-hmm. and hot dogs and chicken nuggets and pizza, because those are the favorites, right? And so if we always bend to the child and give the child what they want just to please them, just because they need to eat, then that's what we're training them to want and need. So it's trying to teach parents how to be parents when it comes to food, right? And taking and looking at food differently.
Right.
Right. And so that's a challenge. And then a lot of parents come and they say, can you fix my child? They're eating like this, or they're not doing this, or they're doing that. But the reality is that you can't fix just the child. Like the a lot of the problem stems with the parent.
Mm-hmm.
The parent is eating poorly, so the child is going to eat poorly. You can't ask your child to eat a salad if you're going to sit there and eat a burger.
Right.
So, when I tell the parent, look, this is going to be like a life change for the family, I would say like half of the parents are like, great, yes, like we're willing to do whatever. And the other half of the parents are like, nah, no thanks, not interested. Right. So I think that's the heartbreaking thing, is that you can specifically sit there and pinpoint for them what the problems are.
Mm-hmm.
But until they take it on and say, we don't, we're going to address this for our family and we're going to change, nothing's going to change.
Right. It's true. You know, I was reading a few different articles, and so I'm sure that there's different numbers quoted in different studies, but there in America, in the U.S., there are about 12 million obese mm-hmm. children, mm-hmm. okay? That's like 1 in 6.
Yeah.
1 in 6. You know, and so just to get an idea, well, how many people are there in America to begin with? Over 300 million, mm-hmm. all right?
But that's everyone. That's not just children.
Yeah. No. I'm just talking about the right. I'm just trying to give you an idea right. of 12 million from, yeah. like, what's the whole population?
Yeah.
You know, but 12 million, you know, that's one in six.
I think the 1 in 6.
One out of every 6 children. That's pretty significant.
Yeah, and that number has been getting bigger and bigger and bigger, right? Yeah. So it used to not be 1 in 6. It used to be 1 in 100, you know, and then it was
sure.
1 in 70, 1 in 50, 1 in 20.
1 in 6.
Now we're down to 1 in 6.
Under 10.
It's amazing to me the rate at which this is multiplying. Right. And no one seems to be concerned. You
right.
know, there's a lot of articles about it. And there's a lot of, you know, we just went out this last week and went out to doctor's offices, marketing and sending out more referral cards. And, you know, all over the walls, you know, it talks about, you know, being healthy and taking care of yourself and childhood obesity, you know, is running rampant. But what are we really doing about it? Nothing. We're just writing a bunch of articles and we're putting up a bunch of posters, but nothing is really happening,
mm-hmm.
right? And so that's the scary part, is no one's really doing anything about it.
Right.
And they're relying on the parents, right, to make changes. And some parents don't know what to do, right? If they do know what to do, they don't want to do it. So that's the part that's hard, right?
So talk about being scary. Let me talk about some of the diseases that are associated with obesity, okay? So these obese children.
Yeah, because normally, like, if someone gets obese later in life, right, they're dealing with a lot of these health issues.
Mm-hmm.
But these children are dealing with these health issues earlier because
right.
they're obese earlier.
Right.
Right.
Right. So some of the issues that they deal with, high blood pressure, mm-hmm. all right, high cholesterol, both of which are risk factors for heart disease.
Right.
Okay. Obesity can also cause sleep apnea. All right. I mean, sleep apnea. When you mm-hmm. think of sleep apnea, you don't think of a child having sleep apnea.
Right.
You know, the sleep apnea is a disease of adults. The right. same with high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So sleep apnea, bone and joint problems because of the weight.
Mm-hmm.
All right. They have bone, joint problems, and just chronic health conditions, asthma, diabetes. In fact, more than 200,000 youth under the age of 20 have type 2 diabetes.
Wow.
All right. And, you know, and many, many more that are definitely at risk for developing diabetes, you know. So these obese children, I mean, here's the reality. This is the reality. These obese children are probably going to grow into obese adults.
Right.
All right. They're probably going to grow up to be obese adults, you know, and be at risk for all of the
sooner.
Health problems. Yeah, be
yeah.
at risk sooner.
Well, because the reality is a lot of these kids are already on medicines as children, right? So it's just going to get more and more medicine as they get older. And they're just going to get sicker and sicker as
yeah.
they get older. And they're not going to make it as long, right? They're going to be dying in their 20s and 30s,
yeah.
right?
Sadly.
So that's I think the sad part is we don't really see the repercussions of it yet because we haven't seen this generation,
mm-hmm.
you know, get older. But, you know, it was just a few years ago that they came out with a study that said that this generation of kids will not outlive their parents.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we saw that on a documentary.
Yeah.
And, but no, it is sad, you know, and it's like, why is this happening?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of things that play into it. You know, even things like socioeconomic,
mm-hmm.
the socioeconomic factors, have been found to be correlated with childhood obesity. All right.
So what do you mean by that?
Okay. For example, their race or ethnicity
mm-hmm.
can predict childhood obesity. Okay. You know, like certain races may be more predisposed to having that. Now, whether that's because they don't have as much access to healthy food,
mm-hmm.
you know, for financial reasons
mm-hmm.
or, I mean, just different reasons. I mean, even even like for me as a gastroenterologist, there are certain races also that are at higher increased risk for colon cancer, mm-hmm. you know, like the Latinos mm-hmm. and the Blacks, mm-hmm. the Black race, those are at increased risk for colon cancer, probably because of the diet.
Right.
All right. As well as diabetes, you mm-hmm. know, the incidence of diabetes is very rampant. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's other things. I mean, 91% of American children have horrible diets.
Right.
91%.
Yeah. 91%.
You know, and less than half of them are getting the recommended 60 minutes of physical activity every day.
Oh, yeah, that's not happening.
That's not happening.
Yeah. You know, with just our day and age of cell phones and tablets.
Well, and the kids don't go out on the street in the streets to play. When we were kids, yeah. We would come home, do our homework, and we were outside. Right. Outside until it got dark.
Yeah.
Okay, we were playing. We were running around, chasing each other, riding bikes, whatever.
Right.
You know, you don't really see that.
No. Everybody's indoors. Everybody's either on a phone, on a tablet, yeah. watching television, playing a video game. Everyone is very stagnant.
That's right.
Yeah.
This one, I think, is a real issue is the consumption of sugary beverages, mm-hmm. okay, sugary foods. I mean, almost two-thirds of the American youth consume a sugary beverage on any given day.
Mm-hmm.
Sugary beverage. Okay, a soda, mm-hmm. a fancy coffee that's loaded with sugar.
What's really, I have to tell you, like we were out shopping this last weekend for a birthday gift. And we went into, you know, the girly stores, you know, like Justice and things like that. And we're shopping around and there are so many shirts for little girls that talk about coffee. You know, I got to get my coffee in the morning, give me my latte or whatever. I'm like, you are 7 years old. Like, what is it with this encouraging of our youth to have these fancy coffees, caffeine? I don't understand it. Like, it's like we're trying to get these little children to be adults.
Mm-hmm.
At 7 years old, they're wearing shirts that say, give me coffee or give me death. You know, it's and what are we doing to them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're seven. They don't need coffee. You know, they should be able to wake up in the morning and have energy. You know?
Yeah.
But it breaks my heart. Every time I see even a young teenager, 12, 13, 14 with a fancy coffee, my heart just tears apart because we're damaging them. We yeah. really are.
Yeah.
We're damaging their bodies. And we think it's a special treat,
mm-hmm.
you know, but the problem is that special treat is every day.
Right.
They're getting a fancy coffee every day,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's going to do damage. I don't care what you say. It's going to do damage.
Yeah. Long term. Absolutely.
And all those things you mentioned, all the diseases mm-hmm. that you talked about,
mm-hmm.
all leads to fatty liver.
Mm-hmm.
Which leads to liver cirrhosis, which right. leads to death,
right? right?
Taking all these medicines, consuming all these medicines for whatever. I mean, we know children that are on medicines for sleep issues.
Yes.
Children medicines, I mean, not only just diabetes, but, you know, high cholesterol mm-hmm. medicine already as mm-hmm. children, okay? All of those medicines are toxins which affect the liver.
Right.
The liver can only take so much, okay? Caffeine affects the liver. Sugar affects the liver.
Yeah.
And all the hidden sugars in all, not only just the drinks, but the cans of vegetables that are in your pantry,
mm-hmm.
okay? The boxes of cereal that are in your pantry, the common things that we're feeding them, crackers.
Right.
Crackers, simple things, even Wheat Thins, because I hear that all the time from, oh, I got my daughter Wheat Thins. They're so much healthier. There's sugar
right.
in Wheat Thins. There are hidden sugars in every single processed food you are eating.
Yes.
And we think, I'm not doing any damage. They don't realize the damage that's happening on the inside of the body.
Right. And I think we talked about this on a podcast about the fatty liver and that, you know, the focus with the patients with fatty liver has always been be on a low-fat diet when really all along we should have been saying watch your sugar intake.
Right.
Watch your sugar intake
because those are the poisons that yeah. are damaging the
well,
liver.
Well, and those sugars that are in that processed food, those sugars metabolize and convert into fats much quicker
mm-hmm.
than like regular glucose.
Right.
All right. They're like such overly processed sugars that are used in the processed food.
Right.
And it just converts much quicker into sugar, into fat, and deposits in the liver. And in many other places.
Yeah.
So we're just
the cancer rate just soaring.
Oh my goodness. I see
early death rates just soaring. And it just breaks your heart. You know, it really does.
Absolutely. And then just, you know, there's so many different things that play into it. You mentioned also about the, you know, the electronics, the technology, mm-hmm. you know, watching TV. One of the articles I read was saying that a quarter of American high school students watch 3 or more hours of television on an average school day.
Unbelievable.
Now, that doesn't even include the time that they're on their phone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm just like, what are you doing on your phone?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we even ask our 21-year-old, you know, he could spend a whole day on his phone. We're like, what are you looking up? Mm-hmm. What are you doing on your phone? Oh, just stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's amazing. But yeah, they'll spend that much time. And schools don't have as much recess time, you know, to try to get more academic instruction, especially among the older children. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the list goes on and on.
Yeah. Kai just had to do a debate in school against another kid on the importance of PE in school and should it be mandatory.
Ah.
And he took the side of, yes, it should be mandatory. And he came home and he's like, okay, mommy, I've got these like 4 reasons why it should be mandatory. Why else do you think? And he and I sat there for like an hour. I'm like, because of this, because of that, because of this, because of that. I mean, he ended up winning that debate, obviously. I mean, the poor kid going against him, I don't think had a chance. But it just, when you were talking about the cell phones with our teenagers and stuff and young adults, I thought about that Modern Family episode where the oldest daughter, she loses her phone and they don't buy her another one.
Right.
And she like finds a book and all of a sudden she's like smelling the roses and like she like is living again.
Yeah.
And then
like having relationships, like, you know, actual meaningful.
Noticing things that she's never noticed before because her head's always in the phone. And she like writes a whole novel or something in like the weekend. And then her parents are so excited for her. And then the new phone comes in the mail and her head's buried right back in the phone.
Yeah.
It's like we lose ourselves.
Yes.
We literally lose ourselves in this technology.
We just go down the rabbit hole.
We do.
And that's it. That's it. Well, we could talk more. I mean, there's actually...
You and I could talk for hours.
Because there's a lot more that, you know, a lot of interesting things I found in my reading, but we must bring this podcast to an end. You know what? It is something that we're definitely passionate about. And even though we are an adult gastroenterology practice, we have family. We have people, adults that are young adults with young kids, and they come into our office and they see the holistic approach that we have. Mm-hmm. And they tell
see Kai's book.
They see our son's book and they tell us, I've got kids. Mm-hmm. They don't want to eat any greens. They don't want to drink water. Mm-hmm. Please help us.
Mm-hmm.
Please help me. What can I do? So we're going to continue with what we're doing and hopefully be able to change some people's lives and change the course of these children's lives.
Yep. Change the course of their future.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you for joining us and we will catch you on the next podcast.
Thank you for joining Dr. Liz Cruz and Tina Nunziato. To learn more about their revolutionary products and services, go online to www.drlizcruz.com.